right. But before I get into the sermon, I did want to mention, I forgot in the announcements, we do have ice cream coming at 1, and we also have soda and Coca-Cola. And you're welcome to have that, even if you didn't bring food for the potluck. That's open to everybody, but just for the actual potluck food, that's where you have to have brought a dish in order to share in that. But everyone's welcome to the ice cream and the soda. So anyways, we're here in 2 Peter chapter 2, and I want to turn your attention to verse number 22 to start off. And the Bible reads in 2 Peter 2, verse 22, "But it's happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." And here in verse number 22, the Bible brings attention to an animal called a dog, an animal that we are all familiar with. And in the Bible, usually when you see the word dog, it's referring to a literal dog. Sometimes, like here, it is referring to a literal dog, but an example that's teaching something else. And sometimes the word dog just symbolizes other things. Now go to Deuteronomy 23. I want to give you an example of this. Deuteronomy chapter 23. I'll just warn you, this is not the most pleasant sermon. I am preaching on the LGBT. This is like when you get to Judges 19 or Genesis 19 in your Bible reading, and it's obviously an interesting portion of Scripture, but at the same time, some of it's kind of tough to take, right? You know, I wish this was something I never had to preach on, but unfortunately in the world we exist in, and here in the Philippines, you do have to preach about the LGBT, right? It says here in Deuteronomy 23, verse 17, "There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow, for even both these are abomination unto the Lord thy God." And here at the first half of verse number 17, it says there shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel. So in the Bible, speaking about women, it gives us an example of a woman who is a whore. And it's referring to people that are not welcome in the house of God. And by the way, they weren't welcome in the house of God in the days of Deuteronomy, and they're not welcome at Verity Baptist Church in 2024. And here's the thing, you know, we're going to look at the LGBT. You know, the Bible gives a list of sins that are just too grievous to be accepted at the local church. The Bible gives a list in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And look, being a whore is worse than the things on the list. Right? But here's the thing. There are certain sins where you're not welcome at the house of God. And the Bible mentions, hey, a whore of the daughters of Israel is not welcome at the house of God. They might be welcome at every other Baptist church here in the Philippines, not here at Verity Baptist Church. Because it's too big of a sin. Then it says here in verse 18, thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore. So what you're seeing here in verses 17 and 18 is that whore obviously correlates to whore. No confusion there, right? Now, of course, common sense would say, what if there was a guy that was a whore? Well, obviously, he would not be welcome at the house of God either. Common sense would tell us, but it's specifically referring to the woman when it says of the daughters of Israel. Then it says this at the end of verse 17, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. What does this word sodomite mean? Where does it come from? Genesis chapter 19, Sodom and Gomorrah. And what is the big sin? Hey, remember Lot's wife. Right? Remember Lot's wife, as we heard in the first sermon, it's filled full of sodomites that want to defile these angels that come in. Just these vile people that are acting like animals. I mean, isn't that what they're doing? They're acting like animals. Right? So the Bible here in verse 18, notice what it says in the middle, or the price of a dog. So see, if whore correlates to whore, what does sodomite correlate to? It correlates to dog. Right. That's the word the Bible is giving to represent a sodomite. So when it came to the daughters of Israel, it said, no whore is welcome at the house of God. And when it came to men, it said, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. So a dog represents a male homosexual according to Deuteronomy 23, verses 17 and 18. Now, of course, common sense would say that if a woman was a tomboy, as we say in the Philippines, or a lesbian, as we say in the U.S., they would not be welcome in the house of God either. Because if a male homosexual is not welcome, obviously, a female homosexual would not be welcome either. But of course, specifically here, it's referring to the male homosexual as a dog, okay? Go back to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Now, of course, the question would come up, why? why does the Bible use this word to describe a male homosexual? Right, you know what? I remember when I first really started reading the Bible and learning the Word of God, and I started to hear preaching like this. I'll just be honest with you, because I've never liked the homos. But when I first started listening to Pastor Anderson in 2008, I was like, I think he's a little bit extreme on the LGBT. Because I was so desensitized as a college student to the world that was around me, I mean, it's kind of tough to fully take in. And I remember when I first started talking to my wife and I was explaining about the LGBT and the reprobates, I mean, it was kind of tough for her to take. And she told me, I remember she called me one day because she was on a jitney, and these two guys, these two bakla on the jitney, they just openly said, you know, little kid came on the jitney, and they just said, all we have to do is give them a cell phone or something. And basically what they were saying is they're going to defile this little kid. And I remember my wife was shocked. I'm like, yeah, you know, that doesn't surprise me. I was like, that's what I've been telling you. But of course, the first time you come in contact with this, it's a harsh reality. It's like, are they really that bad? Because that's not what the media tells you. That's not what the movies tell you. That's not the way they act. Right. But in reality, they're vile and disgusting. Right. Now, I remember for me, I already believed this doctrine. But the thing is, you know, I'd heard the preaching, so I ended up believing it and understanding what the Word of God says. But I remember I was going out soul winning one time, and I guess I just didn't put two and two together. I was thinking, why does the Bible call them dogs? Like, what's the reasoning? And I remember I was soul winning with somebody, and, you know, when dogs get in heat, they get very aggressive, right? And this male dog just came and attacked another dog when it was in heat. And that dog ended up getting away, and that male dog went after another dog. I mean, it was just disgusting and vile to see. But at that moment, I was like, that's what the sodomites are like. Right. Behind closed doors, because a dog knows no better. They do it in public. But behind closed doors, when they're not going to get caught, this is what the sodomites do. This is what the homosexuals do. They will defile people. They don't care about them. And the only thing stopping them is getting caught. I remember when we were at Verity Baptist and we were surrounded by the LGBT. And I remember just thinking, you know what? The only thing stopping them from just killing us or doing whatever they choose is the fact they might get caught. But if they weren't going to get caught and they had no fear of that, they would do whatever they wanted to. Right? And so the Bible uses the word dog to refer to a male homosexual, and it's like, well, that makes sense. The question comes up, well, what about a female homosexual? Is it the same word? Because the Bible's very clear in Deuteronomy 23, verses 17 and 18. It says, nor sodomite of the sons of Israel, and it calls them a dog. But it's very specific to refer to the male. But see, in 2 Peter 2:22, there is another animal mentioned referring to the woman. Notice what it says very closely in 2 Peter 2, verse 22. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again. The masculine. The male. Right? His own vomit again. Then it says this, and the sow that was washed to her, wallowing in the mire. Now, your first response might be, what is a sow? Right? And usually when we see this word S-O-W, you're thinking of like sowing, reaping and sowing. But sow is actually a female pig. And in our modern day, you've got the word gilt and you've got the word sow. And a gilt is a female pig that is never farrowed, or we would say give birth. Whereas a sow is a female pig that has already farrowed before. But I believe in the Bible, when you look up older dictionaries, this word sow is generic for a female pig in general. And what the Bible's showing you is the word for a female homosexual in the Bible is the word sow. Now, here's the thing. I grew up around dogs. I had a dog growing up. We see them out in public. But I did not grow up on a farm. I haven't been around pigs most of my life, other than, you know, when they go inside my mouth when I'm eating them. So when the Bible's saying the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire, I'm just like, I don't even know what these words mean. You know, wallowing the mire, what does that mean? Sow was a term I wasn't familiar with. So I was kind of curious. I want to kind of study this out. And I believe it's going to be very clear at the end of the sermon why the Bible uses the word sow to refer to a female homosexual, to refer to a tomboy or a lesbian. Now, make no mistake, being called any sort of animal is an insult. The Bible calls the reprobates brute beasts. And it's the curse of God to act like an animal. That's what Nebuchadnezzar was doing. Acting like an animal is the curse of God. But there's something specific about the dog, and there's something specific about the sow or the female pig. Now turn your Bible to Romans 1. Romans chapter 1. And let me just give you a bit of an introduction on pigs in general to help you understand this, you know, a little bit better, what I'm going to preach on. So pigs live about 15 to 20 years, okay? But they can actually go through gestation or get pregnant before 6 months old. So at a very, very young age, pigs can get pregnant. Now, when it comes to pigs, what value do they have to humans? They have value in the fact that we eat them. Right? We love lechon. We love bacon. We love ham. We love pork. We love these foods, right? I'm by no means trying to turn you into a vegetarian here today, okay? Make sure you keep eating meat at the end of the sermon if you get anything out of it, okay? But when it comes to pigs, their value to us is the fact that we eat them, right? So when it comes to the female pig, what does a person who owns pigs need? They need a female pig to actually farrow because they need more piglets. They need more baby pigs. Now, when it comes to a male pig, I mean, they need some male pigs in order to get the female pigs pregnant, but a lot of them, they're just, you know, raised to be butchered, raised to be eaten, right? If a female pig was not able to farrow, the only value it's going to have is to be killed and be eaten, right? Now, here's what's interesting about the female pig. They can get pregnant before the age of 6 months, but they have a very short window to get pregnant for the first time. And if they miss that window, they will never be able to get pregnant. But if they do not miss that window, they will continuously be able to farrow and then produce piglets. Because what basically happens is the pelvis has to separate, and then at around the 6 to 8 month mark, it fuses together, where the only option would be a cesarean at 7 months or 8 months, and then it's like impossible if they miss that window. So here's my point. If you have pigs whose only value is to give birth to piglets, and you have a very short amount of time where you need to know when they need to get pregnant or you miss that window, you have to pay close attention if they're ready. Because if you miss the window, well, you lost a lot of money. So what they do is they put the female pigs in one pen together, and then, you know, and it can depend, but, you know, you have one male and another one that basically, once a female pig's ready, you have them come together and the female pig gets pregnant. But the female pigs are separate from the male pigs. So how do you know if a female pig is ready for a male pig? When they start to just sexually get involved with the female pigs. And look, I'm going to leave it at that. This is already an uncomfortable topic when you talk about the LGBT. If you want to know more about pigs, then go right ahead, go to Google, watch documentaries or whatever. But the way they know is once the female pig is doing perversion, okay, it's ready for the male pig. And here's the thing. It's not just the male homosexual that is vile sexually. Point number one, sexually just perverse, that also applies to the lesbian. That is just as perverse as what the guys do. And here's the thing, when I preach on the LGBT and I preach generically, we're usually thinking about the men. Why? Because all the celebrities are men. The Vice Pongies, the Mimi Yuck, right? The big celebrities, the big cross-dressers you see, I mean, these are men. Because honestly, we are desensitized in 2024 to women cross-dressing because it's everywhere. And it does not mean that a woman is a lesbian when she's dressing like a man. That's just the way culture is. But then we see the guys dressing as women, and you know they're part of the LGBT. So that's what's front and center. But make no mistake, the female lesbian is just as vile as the male who's a homosexual. Right. Just as vile. The Bible says this in Romans 1, verse number 24. Romans 1, verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. Vile or disgusting affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Now look, verse 26 could be a bit confusing, but then verse 27 makes it very clear what verse 26 is saying. Because then it says this in verse 27, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. So basically the Bible is saying, well, men, they burn in their lust toward other men, just like the women burn in their lust toward other women. Right. So here's the thing. Are the male homosexuals, the male queers, are they disgusting? Are they sexually perverse? Absolutely. But so are the lesbians. Right. So are the tomboys. And it's just as filthy as what the guys are doing. Right. It's just as disgusting. It's just as repulsive. And we ought to be just as repulsive as what they're doing and not just what the guys are doing. Turn your Bible to Jude 1. Jude 1. Jude chapter 1. And the name of the sermon is Attributes or Characteristics of Female Pigs. We're going to look at the female pig, and we're going to make the analogies of what the Bible is trying to say about the tomboy or the lesbian. Because if you're like me, I didn't grow up on a farm. I know very little about pigs just generically. You know, other than, you know, when I was a kid, there was a movie called Babe that was like considered one of the best pictures of the year, and it's like a cute little pig. Well, after this sermon, I don't think you're going to think the pig's a cute little animal. It's actually pretty vile. And, you know, it should make sense because throughout the Bible, is there anything ever really good said about the pig? No, there's not, right? Bible says in Jude 1, verse 6, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Now here in verse number 6, the Bible's talking about angels. Obviously, angels are different than humans, and they're looked at differently than humans are looked at. The angels, one-third of them chose to go with the devil, they rebelled against God, and now they're basically rejected by God. With humans, we use the word reprobate, and, you know, honestly, angels, it's basically the same thing. They made that choice, and then they're rejected. And what the Bible says is they are reserved in everlasting chains. That does not say they're already in hell. It says they are reserved. What's a reservation? A reservation is something that is going to take place, but it has not taken place yet. You call up and make a reservation at a restaurant, and it's something a couple days down the line. Well, the Bible's saying these angels, they have a reservation for the lake of fire. They have a reservation for hell. They're not in hell right now, but they have a reservation. You say, what does that have to do with humans? Well, look at the next verse. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner are giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. You see, verses 6 and 7 are being linked together. And in verse 7, we're looking at the LGBT. We're looking at the homosexuals. We're looking at the sodomites. Now, are all homosexuals in hell right now? No, but they have a reservation. Just like the angels, I mean, angels are possessing people today, fallen angels, or devils as we would say. They're not in hell right now, but they have a reservation. Well, here's the thing. When it comes to the homosexuals, unfortunately, they're not all in hell right now. There are many of them that are walking, and we would say they're walking dead men. You say, why? Because they have a reservation for the lake of fire. You say, well, can't you call up and cancel a reservation? They didn't make the reservation. God made the reservation. God rejected them. They chose not to give God glory. They chose not to give God thanks. They chose to reject God and become bitter against God and become hateful against God. And eventually God says, I've rejected you. And by the way, you have a reservation in 10 years for the lake of fire. And here's the thing. God doesn't cancel his reservation. It's going to take place. Pastor, why don't we have a big outreach ministry for the LGBT? Because they already have a reservation for hell. I can't do anything for them. I wish that every LGBT person as a young child would have gotten saved before they went down that road. But it's too late. If we could rescue them, I wish we could. If they could believe, then we'd give them the gospel. They cannot believe. They have a reservation for the lake of fire, and that reservation is not going to be canceled. It's a done deal already. You say, well, how do you know that? Because they're doing things against nature. You're naturally designed in a certain way, and when your conscience is seared with the hot iron, and you're given over to a reprobate mind, you're reprobate concerning the faith, and now all of a sudden you have unnatural desires, that is a permanent thing. It cannot be changed. Bible says here in verse number 8, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. You see, as humans, naturally we're like humans. But when someone is given over to a reprobate mind, the way they think naturally is as a brute beast. They think like an animal. Not like, and this is why it's hard for us to understand this. Because you act like a human. You think like a human. Right. I don't know what it's like to think like a dog. Right. And look, I love my dog growing up, and if you have a dog, I'm not against you. I'm just saying, dogs are very filthy animals. Right. I don't want to think and act like a dog. I don't want to think and act like Nebuchadnezzar. And I'll tell you what, the dogs do it openly and the LGBT hides it, but they are the exact same way. And it's not just the men, it's also the women that are part of the LGBT. Turn your Bible to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Point number one, the pig, as is true also with the lesbian or the tomboy, is sexually perverse. And you know, when you look at statistics of the LGBT, it's disgusting how many people they sleep with. I think that if you were a guy that slept with 50 people, 50 women, that's disgusting. You know, you go to college and it's like the cool thing. It's like, well, how many women have you been with? And it's like, I'm sorry, when you sleep with 50 people, that's disgusting, even if it's with someone of the opposite gender. Right. And when you look at the LGBT, many of them have more than 1,000 partners in their life. Right. I don't even know how that's possible. Yeah. But here's what I know, that a couple times in my life, I have had sodomites just come at me, just basically invite me to their bed when I just met them, and it's like, what is wrong with you? I remember I gave somebody an invitation one time when I was in college. I went out running and I gave him an invitation to church. And he's like, hey, if you ever want to come over with me and my male roommate. And I was repulsed. And I didn't even know this about the LGBT at the time. I was thinking, what is wrong with that person? And apparently they just do that to everybody. Right? When I saw the dogs doing it in public, the dog didn't care what the other dog was. Just do it with whatever. And look, if you've had a pet dog growing up, you know that's true. Right. You know when dogs get in heat, they'll just do whatever. I mean, they'll do it to like an inanimate object. I mean, it doesn't matter to them. They're just vile. They're disgusting. And that is what the LGBT is. Right. But it is not just the men. The tomboy and the lesbian, their conscience is just as seared with the hot iron. They're just as much given over to a reprobate mind. They just as much act like an animal. It's just as vile. It's just as perverse. It is just as disgusting. just like the bakla. Point number one, they are sexually perverse. Point number two, female pigs are incredibly violent. In fact, about the most violent I've ever heard of an animal being. Now, here's the thing. When it came to preparing the sermon, I don't really know a whole lot about pigs, but I kind of just assumed, well, they must be sexually perverse if the Bible's given that link, which, by the way, it's not just dogs and pigs. Animals in general are often sexually perverse. Right. When we say that the reprobates are like brute beasts, I mean, animals are disgusting. Right. Animals are filthy. I loved my dog growing up, but now that I have three kids, I'm just like, I'm happy with my kids. But the female pig is also very, very violent. Now, notice this in Luke 8, verse 32. Luke 8, verse 32. And this is a famous story where there's the people possessed with the devils. And Jesus basically, I mean, the devils asked to go inside of the swine, which is a word for pigs. Which the pig is a very filthy animal. It's an unclean animal. And then Jesus allows them to go into the pigs. And they just basically run off a cliff. But notice this in Luke 8, verse 32. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. He allows them to enter into them. Then, and you say, why is it they had to get permission? Because God is the one who's in ultimate control. Even the devil has to come to God in Job 1 to ask for permission. He doesn't get to just do whatever he wants. He has to go to God to get permission. Then it says here in verse 33, then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. It doesn't say they quickly ran off a cliff. It says they ran violently. In fact, it says that in all the Gospels. They ran violently. What does violent mean? Well, I mean, I think we know what the word violent means. And so this could mean a couple things. Number one, the pigs could very easily have been attacking each other on the way down. I think that's probably because that's what pigs do all the time. It could be the owners of the pigs are trying to kind of stop it, and then the pigs are just coming at them because pigs attack humans all the time. I'm not really sure, but they ran violently. And you know what? That is a major, major characteristic with female pigs. Now turn your Bible to Romans 1. Romans chapter 1. You know, on days like this, when I'm losing my voice, I kind of wish I was one of those, like, lame preachers where you talk soft and everything. Because it's a struggle when you're trying to preach with authority and your voice is just, like, dying on you. You know, but it happens. It is what it is. But let me just read you some articles about the pigs. Because you might be thinking, how can a pig be violent? They seem so cute. They seem so innocent. How could they be violent? Right? Let me just read you from this article. Piglets are born with some of their baby teeth already erupted and ready to go. These are called needle teeth and include the incisors at the front of the mouth. Pigs fight to assert their dominance over other animals in the herd. When pigs are mixed in groups, there is no noticeable difference in the behavior of the different genders. Here's the thing. Usually with animals, the males fight, but not really the females. But according to this, there's no difference with the female pigs and the male pigs. But it says they're already born with their teeth ready to go. So when a pig is born, pretty much the first thing you do is take the piglet away from the mother, and then you clip the teeth. You say, why? Because actually, it's if you've ever seen wild pigs that aren't domestic, their teeth are pretty gnarly, aren't they? You've got to clip the teeth, and you've got to regularly cut back on the husks. Otherwise, they use that to attack. It's actually a very dangerous thing for the pigs and for the owners of the pig. And so basically the first thing they do is they clip the teeth. And here's the thing. Piglets will fight each other to get to their mom. And when I say fight, I'm not saying they just kind of wrestle. I'm saying they will fight like to the death. And then if the piglet doesn't get what it wants, then it will attack the mom. You say, I feel bad for the piglets. Well, you shouldn't, because what is common with sows when they farrow, is to kill the piglet they just farrowed and practice cannibalism on the piglet while they are still giving birth. I mean, this is madness. I've never heard of any animal doing that. Usually animals act motherly, but they will often kill the piglet they just gave birth to. It's like, and you know, God created the female pig to prove a point to us. Now, number one, it tastes good. Amen?
Right.
That's one reason. But number two, it's showing you how vile the female homosexual is, not just the male homosexual. It says here from this article, an increasing number of swine farmers all around the planet have recently been reporting about stable groups of pigs which gang up and kill one specific pig in the group, often within minutes. A common thing that takes place is, you know, the owner or the farmer of the pigs, he goes inside. 15 minutes later, one of the pigs has been brutally killed by the other pigs. You say, but they look so cute. I've never heard this about pigs before. This is the word the Bible gives for the female homosexual. That's what the Bible's saying. And look, of course, I didn't grow up, and look, animal attacks on farms are actually pretty common, even outside the pig. The number one cause of death on, because for farmers, their mortality rate is actually very high, and the number one cause of death is not machinery, it's animal attacks. Because at the end of the day, we're talking about a wild beast that doesn't think like a human, right? But it is extremely common. Here's another article as well about a domestic pig attack to an owner. We report the case of a 49-year-old male found dead in his farm's pigsty, where a sow and her piglets were present. So notice, we're not talking about the boar. We're talking about the sow, the female pig that looks so innocent and you wouldn't think would be that dangerous, actually is the one that attacks this guy. Now, I don't want to go into the specific details of this because, honestly, this is already pretty graphic when you think about it. But look, pig attacks on humans are extremely common. There was a famous serial killer in Canada, and he worked on a farm, and he killed a multitude of women. And you say, well, how did he get away with it? Because the pigs just devour the remains. They're very violent. I was reading online, because I know very little about pigs, articles on like Quora where people are talking about how their pig tried to attack them, they were afraid for their life. There's people saying, hey, you better not faint inside of a pig pen because you might never wake up. They're actually very, very violent animals. But you know, that makes sense if that's the word given for a female homosexual.
Right.
Because it's not just the male homosexuals that are violent. When it comes to the men, when you think of famous serial killers that have existed, you know what you see that's in common with all of them? They're all a bunch of homos. They're all a bunch of queers. The Jeffrey Dahmers, the John Wayne Gacys, even the ones that are not queers were sexually perverse like Ted Bundy. But you see the same thing with famous female serial killers. And I'll prove that to you here in a second. Romans 1, verse 28. Romans 1, verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now, question, who is given over to a reprobate mind? Is it just the men or is it also the women? It's also the women.
Right.
You see, the Rosie O'Donnells are just as disgusting and perverse as the Vice Pongies. The Whoopi Goldbergs and who, I don't know the famous, you know, tomboys here in this country. I know one was like the representative for the Miss Universe pageant. Yeah, there's been a lot of guys that represent countries for the Miss Universe pageant in Europe over the last like 10 years. But there's still something wrong with a lesbian representing your country. You say, why? Because what you're going to see later on in the sermon is one big characteristic of a tomboy and a female pig is they act like men. How is that attractive?
Right.
How is it attractive? As Pastor Shelley said, hey, as guys, when you act like a man, that's attractive to women. Guess what? Women, act like women.
Right.
Act like ladies. If you act like a guy, it's unattractive.
Right.
It's unbecoming to a woman. What's becoming to a woman is acting like a lady.
Right.
Bible says in Romans 1, verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder. Full of murder, referring to the reprobates. Debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. The Bible says they are full of murder. Now look, that's hard for us to believe, isn't it? How could you be filled full of murder? Why would you want to kill somebody? The most famous female serial killer of all time is a woman by the name of Eileen Wuornos. Has anybody heard of this person? There's a movie in 2003 called Monster. And it was about this woman who was a serial killer, Eileen Wuornos. The actress, I don't know how to pronounce her name, Charlize Theron. I think she's famous. I've heard the name before or seen her name before. I don't know how you pronounce it. But she played this female serial killer. And this woman in real life, she was married to a guy, but then she switched on to women. And then she murdered 7 guys in 12 months, and they made a movie about her. And the actress won Best Actress. Great job, Hollywood! What are you trying to promote? Now, obviously, I've never seen the movie. I obviously recommend you don't watch the movie. I recommend you don't watch any movies. But certainly not a movie about a female serial killer. But what I read from user reviews on IMDb and from, they said they make her a sympathetic character. It's like you have to understand, you know, why she went down. It's not her fault. She murdered all of these people. Look, I get it. When you look at the LGBT, their lifestyle growing up was always a mess. But you know what? A lot of people have a mess growing up, but they don't choose to reject God. They don't choose to hate God. They choose to believe on Christ. And I wish people like that, Jeffrey Dahmer, had gotten saved as a kid. But here's the thing. I have no sympathy for the person that hates God in his heart. That has rejected God and hates God. I wish he had gotten saved when he was young, but it's too late. Say, why? He's got a reservation. That's what the Bible teaches. Turn in your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. One of the stories I read online, and you know, sermons like this are always challenging because I want you to realize how disgusting and filthy the tomboy is. At the same time, I want to be discreet. I don't want to defile you because when you read Genesis 19, it doesn't go into the gory details, nor do I wish to do that either. But I read one story where basically the person who owned and controlled the pigs had just kind of left, and he wasn't there to feed the pigs, and there was another guy. And I guess he didn't realize they missed their feeding time, so he went out to the pig pen, and the pigs, just a bunch of sows together, were eating each other. They were killing each other. And then all of a sudden, they looked at him and came after him, and you know, pigs are a lot faster than you think. They don't look fast, but they actually aren't that slow. And all of a sudden, he said he ran out for his life, and he just ran inside. He was scared because he said he realized, they're going to kill me. That is what the female pig is like. You know what the Bible is trying to show you? It's trying to show you that lesbians, they're all violent. They're all sexually perverse. It doesn't mean they've all killed someone. It doesn't mean they've all done a horrible crime like that. But that is in their nature. They are rejected and they are full of murder according to the Word of God. They're not all going to be like Eileen Wuornos, but it is in their nature. They are just as disgusting and just as reprobate as the male homosexuals. Number one, female pigs are sexually perverse. Number two, they're violent. Lastly, they're not feminine. They're masculine. They act like men. You say, well, how does a pig act like a man? Well, I'm going to prove it to you. We're going to look at the characteristics of a female pig. And we're going to see that the characteristics they exhibit are what you'd expect in a guy, not really a girl. Part A, they're dirty. They're dirty. They're not that concerned about being clean. Now, I believe as guys we should take showers, but let's just face it, guys don't care as much. 2 Peter 2:22, but it's happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog has turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. You say, what does that mean? Pigs don't sweat. So to cool off, they roll around in mud or a cooler substance. And what wallowing in the mire means is to roll your body, to wallow, and the mire is like a muddy swamp, you know. And so basically, pigs, to cool off, they roll around in the mud. Now you say, well, how does that attribute more to guys than it does to girls? You know, when I was growing up and playing soccer, we played in a tournament at the end of every year called the Halloween Classic, which was in October. So it got the name Halloween Classic. The field was, it was always raining, and it was covered in mud because of the time of year. And I remember at the end of every single game, it's the end of the year. And, you know, in West Virginia, you know, we had a lack of people playing soccer. So there's usually like one or two girls that are on the team. And at the end of the games, you know what every single guy did? He just slid in the mud. And all the girls are just like, you know, no, I don't want to do that. You say, why? Because girls care a lot more about being cleanly than guys. And look, as guys, I believe in using soap, brushing your teeth, taking showers, and all those things. I'm just saying, it's generally the women that care more about their appearance. Right. As a guy, I don't really care what my hair looks like. It doesn't really bother me. It is what it is. But as girls, obviously you care more, and there's a difference in the nature of men and women. But here's the thing, the female pig, it acts like you expect men to act. Not like you would expect a woman to act. Turn your Bible to Matthew 7. Let me give you another link between dogs and swine or dogs and pigs in the Bible. But you know what's funny about this is that if you go to Google and you type in, are pigs an unclean animal? Do you know what everybody's going to say? Actually, they're not really unclean, they're misunderstood. They just get that reputation because they wallow in the mire. That makes them unclean. But see, really, what they're trying to do is just subtly brainwash you away from what the Bible says. Right. Satan is the god of this world. And it's like, and I'm reading this online, I'm just thinking, pigs? Everybody knows they're a dirty animal. But it's like everybody wants to defend them. They're not really dirty. It's not their fault. It's the only reason why they do that is because they don't sweat, so they have to do that. That still makes them dirty. Right. They're still rolling around in the mud. Right. But that's not the only thing that makes pigs dirty. Pigs have the worst diet of any animal in the world. They eat slop. They eat garbage. They eat literally everything. And when I say everything, I literally mean everything. Pigs are the most commonly known animal to practice something called coprophagia. Has anybody ever heard what coprophagia is? Look, if you brought pork today, if you brought ham today, you know what? God bless you. Everyone's welcome to eat the pig meat. After researching for this sermon, you know what? I still eat pig meat. It's never been my favorite, honestly, but I still eat it. So it's okay. You can still eat it today, okay? But coprophagia is something where animals, they eat dung. They eat poop. They eat thai. And the pigs are the most commonly known animal. They eat their own. They eat the ones of the other animals. This is one reason why piglets will fight, because they fight for their mom's dung. And what I've also read is in like less civilized countries where they're using the bathroom outdoors and it gets extremely dirty, the one animal that helps clean it up is the pig, because they just go around and just eat whatever they find. I mean, but you know what's interesting? You know what the second most commonly known animal to do this is? The dog. What a shock! What a shock! It's like the two most disgusting animals. It's like, what a shock. It's like the pig, and I got to credit Brother Raji for telling me that. I didn't know that. He's like, I saw a dog do that before. I was like, really? And I looked online, and it's like, yeah, you know what? The dog also practices this same thing oftentimes. Now, I don't remember our dog doing that growing up, but we just read 2 Peter 2:22, where it says they return to their own vomit, and what that means is that dogs, they throw up, and then they eat it. And then they lick your face. They don't lick my face. But I saw a dog doing that growing up, and I was like, oh, it's gross. It's disgusting. Isn't it interesting? These are the animals God chooses to use. It's disgusting. Bible says in Matthew 7, verse 6, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. And here in this verse, it's going to use these animals where we have a literal example to help us understand something. Why does it say, give not that which is holy unto the dogs? Here's the thing. A literal dog, you don't have to feed it filet mignon. You don't have to feed it a nice steak. Just feed it the leftovers. Give it the junk. You don't have to feed it a nice meal. They're not picky. It's like, here you go, I cooked you a salmon. You know, here you go, your salmon, your favorite. You don't have to do that for a dog. They eat whatever you give them. And the pig does the exact same thing. But here's what I would say. When it comes to the LGBT, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Amen. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine. Number one, they cannot get saved. And number two, if you try to be nice to a sodomite, you try to be nice to someone in the LGBT, it's like, well, they're a co-worker, so I'm trying to get along and just, you know, say hello and be friendly to them, and then I'll just give them a little bit of Bible here and there. You know what? You'll become their enemy, and they'll try to destroy you. I understand a lot of people work with sodomites at our church. You work at call centers, you have the LGBT all around you, and I'm not against you for having that job. God bless you for providing for your family and doing a job that you don't want to do to provide. But here's what I would say. Just try to ignore them the best you can. Don't give them a Bible verse. Definitely do not give them an invitation to our church. Pick up an invitation and invite them over there or invite them over there. Don't invite them here. But here's the thing, I'm not going to give them any Bible. You say, why? Because they can't get saved. They can't understand the Bible. They will reject it. They will hate you, and they're going to turn again and rend you. They're going to turn again and try to destroy you. I would just ignore them. And this is a literal situation probably half of our church deals with every single week. Now look, I don't want you to get fired by just, you know, starting a fight with them at work, but just ignore them. Just ignore them. I wish you didn't have to deal with it, but you do. I've had a job before where my boss was a homo. I had like a temp job for like 4 months, and the person I had to report to, I had to do meetings to, was a sodomite. Yeah, it's pretty disgusting. It's pretty annoying. And I'm not against you for having a job, because look, in the Philippines, a lot of nice jobs, you're around the LGBT all the time. It is what it is. But don't cast your pearls before swine. Right. Just try to ignore them. Do the best you can. And there's not always an easy answer. But here's the thing. You're not going to bring them to Jesus. Right. It ain't happening. They have a reservation that was booked by God. And it is a sure thing. They are a walking dead person. Go to Luke 15. Luke 15. You know what's interesting? The verse that comes to my mind when I think about dogs and pigs, whose God is their belly, because they're the animals that literally will just eat whatever that comes in front of them. And that's a verse that's in the context of reprobates. Now, this is a verse we can relate to because all of us, we struggle with eating the right things. I mean, you're always tempted. It's like one more cookie. Right? I'll just have one more chip, and then you just eat the whole bag of chips. Now, look, I'm not against eating junk food. It's not a sin. It's not wrong. But I'd say all of us, we try to fight against our desire of our belly to eat some of these things. What the Bible's saying is, with the reprobate, they give in to every lust that they have. There's no restraint. They do whatever their lusts are. And when it comes to the dog and the pig, they have no restraints from what they eat. Their God is their belly. Like, literally anything that comes in front of them, they will consume. Bible says in Luke 15, verse 13, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." This man is so desperate, he's willing to eat what they feed the pigs. Look, what they feed the pigs is not exactly a nice meal. They feed them the slop. They feed them the leftovers. But he's so desperate, "I'll do what the pigs do." And then he comes to himself and then returns to his dad. He said, "Well, why is this a non-feminine thing?" Look, as husbands, as fathers, we often go to restaurants and we don't order food. Why? Because we're going to eat the leftovers of our kids. Right? Or you order food, you eat your meal, and then there's leftovers from your wife or your kids, and it's like, I'm not really hungry anymore, but I don't want to waste money. It's like, all right, I'll just eat that too. That's what we do. It's known that guys gain more weight, you know, during pregnancy and when kids are first born than the wives do, right? That's a very common thing, to be honest. Because honestly, when there's leftovers, as a guy, you're just like, I'm not going to leave a leftover.
Right.
No piece of shame left. Right? I'm going to eat every single last one. That's something that guys are typical for. Wouldn't we all agree on that? It's not really something you think of as much with ladies. Well, here's the thing. It's not just the male pig. The female pigs also act like this. Why? Because they act like men. They're not feminine. They're dirty. They just eat whatever. They don't act feminine at all. Turn your Bible to Job 39. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying lesbians and tomboys, they're not feminine. They act like men. It's gross. As a guy, it's an unattractive thing when a woman acts like a man. It's the least attractive thing they could do. There ought to be a difference. I mean, when a woman dresses like a guy, I mean, look, every guy, and I know this for a fact because Paul said this, it's like he says, judging yourselves. Is it comely or attractive when a woman has short hair? No!
Right.
Why? Because it makes them look like a guy. Is it attractive? What's more attractive? A woman dressing like a guy or a woman wearing a nice dress? A woman wearing a nice dress.
Right.
Because they look feminine. They look like ladies. Men should act like men and women should act like women. I mean, I can't believe you say that. In 2024. I don't get what's confusing about this. But we live in a day where people do not understand and they don't apply the basics of the Word of God. Part C, not only are they dirty, not only do they eat whatever's in front of them, they're not motherly. They don't protect their young. People think they protect their young because sows will often attack humans. No, they attack humans because they're violent. And the reason why I know they're not really protecting their young, because they often attack their young. Right? Job 39. Bible says here in verse 13, Job 39. Job 39, verse 13. "Givest thou the goodly wings unto the peacocks, or wings and feathers unto the ostrich, which leaveth her eggs in the earth, and warmeth them in dust, and forgetteth that the foot may crush them, or that the wild beast may break them? She is hardened against her young ones as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain without fear." I mean, the Bible speaks about an animal that is just so stupid, is like callous toward her young. She's not there to protect them, and she might destroy them. Well, here's the thing. The sow doesn't do it accidentally. And you know what you see with articles online? Well, it's because they get emotional after they farrow. right? And they said, you know, the way to protect them is if you take the piglet away immediately, they're usually safe. It's like, well, yeah, they're going to be safe because when a sow is farrowing, they're inside of like a cage from what I've seen, right? But they're not motherly at all. They don't protect. But, you know, here's the thing. That's different than other animals. In the animal world, usually the females in animals, they protect their young. They care about their young. Not the sow, not the female pig. Why? Because of the fact she acts masculine, not motherly. The sow does not exhibit feminine characteristics. Turn to 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. The last thing that makes them not feminine, just think about the mannerisms of pigs. Think about all the pig noises, the oinking and the snorting. I mean, it's like, that's not really a feminine sort of, you know, characteristic that they exhibit. I liken it to like, you know, burping and, you know, like farting. Or when you're a kid, like the boys will do this underneath their armpit or whatever. And it's like, look, as guys, it's immature, it's stupid. But here's the thing, that's certainly not a feminine thing. I don't remember ever seeing girls like doing that as a kid, or if women like just let out a big burp, it's like, ugh. It's disgusting. But here's the thing, the mannerisms of pigs, they basically are acting like an uncivilized guy, pretty much. 1 Peter 3, verse 3. Who's adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Look, as women, if you want to be an attractive woman to godly guys, you know what the secret is? Act like a woman. Right. Have a meek and quiet spirit. Dress like a woman. Talk like a woman. Act like a woman. Now, as guys, hey, let us act like guys. Let us act like men. As ladies, act like a woman. Act like a lady. That's what's attractive to guys. It is not attractive when a woman acts like a guy. I mean, every guy in this room, there's probably a lot of husbands that are afraid to say amen, but they're thinking it on the inside. Like, it is not attractive if my wife acts like a guy. If my wife is acting, you know, masked. It's not an attractive thing. It's attractive when women act like women. Think of celebrities that are considered very beautiful women. But then you hear the things that come out of their mouth. Then you see the way they talk and the way they dress, and you're like, ugh. It's disgusting. Right. Why? Because they're not acting like a lady. They're not acting like a woman. Turn your Bible to Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11. Don't worry, we're almost done. A couple more verses. Proverbs 11. Proverbs chapter 11. But you know, there's something that's interesting to me about this when I was preparing the sermon. If you were to think of colors, what is the color you would say is most associated with being feminine? Pink. At a gender reveal, you got blue and pink, right? It's like, I mean, the first animal. What's the first animal you, it's not the only animal that's pink, but the first animal you would think of, name a pink animal. Everybody would say the pig, right? It's like they should be feminine, but they act masculine. Does anybody look, because look, some animals you would look at and say, what a beautiful animal. Does anybody say that about the pig? No. Proverbs 11, verse 22. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. The Bible likens a woman without discretion to a jewel of gold in a swine or a pig's snout, saying it just doesn't fit for a swine or a pig. Right? And what the Bible's saying with a fair woman without discretion, basically a woman that just, you know, is just saying whatever. She doesn't have proper mannerisms. She doesn't hold back her tongue. She's just like a bossy and obnoxious sort of woman. It's like, it doesn't matter if she's naturally beautiful, she's unattractive.
Right.
Who here thinks Joyce Meyer is attractive? Nobody. How about Hillary Clinton? Nobody. Because they act like men. It's not attractive. When a woman acts like a man, it's an unattractive thing. And you can put whatever jewel you want on it. You can put whatever necklace. They can spend hours in the makeup. And here's the truth. As wives, if you want your husband to be attractive to you, you don't have to spend hours in front of the mirror. You know what you need to do? Spend 30 minutes in front of this book. And your husband will find you attractive. When you are a godly woman with a meek and quiet spirit, your husband will be attracted to you. That's the truth. But if you do everything to look nice and you act like a guy, he's not going to be attracted to you. You act bossy and obnoxious and just, look, he's not going to be attracted to you. You say, why? Because that's how guys act. I mean, look, look, if your wife came home and she's like, yeah, I just knocked out a woman at the supermarket, you'd be like, you wouldn't be like, wow, that's so attractive. It's like, because fighting is not a feminine thing. As guys growing up, guess what? We wrestle with our friends, right? We box our friends. It's fun. We play tackle football. We hit each other. It's fun. But not really for ladies. Most ladies are not like boxing each other. I mean, as guys, you're like, yeah, let's just, you know, hang out. Let's do some boxing rounds. It's not really what ladies are going to do. The sow, the female pig, it fights whatever. You can read story. If you're interested, go on Google story after story after story about people on a farm, and then out of nowhere, the sow just came at them. That's the reality. And here's the thing. People that are part of the LGBT, on the outside, they seem so nice. They seem so funny. They're my friend. I take them shopping. I take this male homosexual shopping with me. I don't do that. But that's what people do. You go soul winning, there's a group of six people, you're thinking, why are these girls hanging out with sodomites? But here's the thing, they're actually very violent. They're not going to say this to you. I remember I worked a job a long time ago, and coworkers warned me because there was this sodomite at my job. I had never talked to this guy, but because of what I believed, he hated me. And because of the church I attended, he hated me. And he told coworkers that he was going to wait outside the building and bash my head with a baseball bat. I had never talked to the guy before. You say, why? Because they're violent. But it's not just the men, it's also the women. Go in your Bible to Romans 1. We'll close up. Romans 1. Romans chapter 1. You say, Pastor, why preach a sermon like this? I mean, we got a lot of visitors, a special occasion, a big crowd. Well, you know, I just figured, you know, Pastor Shelley is here with us today. He's a hard preacher. I didn't know what he was going to preach. And I just figured if we get kicked off YouTube, I want it to be my sermon. I'm 80% joking. But the reality is that the LGBT is a major problem in our country. And honestly, I just, you know, I saw the link in the Bible with the sow, and I was like, you know what? Usually when I preach against the LGBT, I mention, like, men that are sodomites. But I want to make sure that we realize it's not just the males. It's also the females. They are also vile. They are also disgusting. They are also not to be trusted.
Right.
It's not different. Their conscience is just as seared with the hot iron as a guy who becomes a reprobate. They are just as vile as the men. Somebody yesterday asked me this question. This guy, he had just arrived from the country of Chile like the day before from a plane to the Philippines. And he actually spoke very good English, you know, Spanish, or he spoke very good English. And he asked me this question when I was giving him the gospel, because somebody had given him an invitation earlier in the week. Like, I think he had gotten there on Friday, and he said, I got this invitation yesterday, and I already looked it up online. He's like, why don't you accept homosexuals at your church? And I was talking to this guy, and he mentioned Paul the Apostle. He's like, because Paul the Apostle, I mean, he was killing Christians and doing all these bad things. So why is it, you know, he gets saved, so why are you saying a homo can't be saved? I said, here's the difference. Paul did it ignorantly in unbelief. The Romans one person, they are choosing to reject God. They are choosing not to be thankful. They are choosing not to give God glory. In fact, verse 32 says this, who knowing the judgment of God, they know the judgment of God. They know what the Bible says. That they which commit such things are worthy of death. They're worthy for the death penalty.
Right.
Leviticus 20:13. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You see, the sodomite, the LGBT person, not only do they do these wicked things, they take pleasure when other people do the same things. They want this whole world to become sexually perverse and filthy. You say, why? Because if you're a wicked person, you want to justify yourself and think you're better than everybody else, so everybody you want to drag down to your level. And they hate their life. I mean, look, every sodomite hates their life. Make no mistake about this. We think the sinful world is, they seem like they're having so much fun. They're not having fun. If they're having so much fun, why are they getting drunk to forget about the day? They're not having fun. And when you live a filthy and sinful and rotten, I mean, this is why so many of the LGBT just kill themselves at a young age. Why? Because they're filthy and disgusting. And they hate their lives. But they know the judgment of God. I worked a job a long time ago as a teacher, and we had a community service project where we're in the community, and there was this woman in the crowd, and I could tell immediately when I looked at her she was a tomboy. She was a lesbian. Obvious. Usually for me it's harder to tell with women than men, but it was just obvious. And she had a rainbow on her shirt, which makes it more obvious. Six colors, obviously. One word was above, recruiter. I got so angry. Because, look, usually I can keep my cool, and I just walked in the other direction because I was so angry. Because you know what that's saying? She's saying, I want to turn everybody into a filthy lesbian like me. That is the goal of the LGBT. They keep changing the goalposts, my friend. They said, just give us this, we're going to be happy. They keep pushing it. They want the whole world to become filthy. And I hate to say it, but they're multiplying faster than Christianity's multiplying.
Right.
Now, a church like ours, we're reaching people and getting people saved, but the LGBT is rapidly increasing around the world. But make no mistake, it's not just the males that are sick and perverse. It's also the females as well. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here today and ask you to help us just to understand this topic. Help us to understand about the LGBT. Help us to guard our children just from the influences of the media and the music and the TV. Help keep all the kids at our church, God, safe. And help us just to reach people in this community before they go down that road of rejecting you and hating you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.